Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's Derek Provoke Nothing Podcast.
With your hosts, Salsa,
Matt,
and Jenna.
And we are finding out all kinds of things about each other, most of which is that we would all look damn good in one of Salsa's new Casimir the Hungry shirts.
It is.
Which he is sporting as we record because it is
proud as
an audio podcast.
No. I'm not wearing this for any of you. I'm wearing this for me.
Oh.
Because of all of the shirts that, all of the merchandise that I've designed for the Casimir, you know, brand.
Yeah.
I haven't bought any of it for myself yet because I know that
you don't be that guy.
I don't want to be that guy, but also I have until Fest.
Mm-hmm.
Until I really need to worry about that sort of thing.
Sure. Although I will point out, every pro wrestler wears their own T-shirt.
Also true.
That is totally fine. You are
also
selling
NASCAR.
Shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No. There's nothing wrong with selling your own shit.
And
you don't want to wear someone else's shirt to their show.
Right.
It's okay to wear your own shirt to your show and show people how cool your fucking shirt is. Which, by the way. It's a cool shirt.
It really does look good.
It upsets me to pimp Salsa's stuff because I don't like doing that.
Like, I sound surprised because I'm surprised.
I am surprised.
But I begrudgingly have to say that it's a really goddamn good looking shirt.
I'm just saying, I'm going to wear it. And
I know, like, some places they'll say those things just to be like, I'm pimping your shit. But no, it actually looks good.
James.
Fuck it. I guess you're cool. James, I guess that shirt's cool.
Yeah, there we go.
There we go. Okay. Better. Yeah.
James got one about a week ago. He got his in the mail about a week ago. But he didn't.
His beard covered all of it.
But he didn't wear it to work. He wore it over the weekend. And then he didn't wear it to work that week, and so I didn't actually get to see it until I got mine today.
Mm.
And as soon as I got home, I opened up the package and put it on just to kind of see how it looked, to see if it was what I wanted it to be. And I haven't taken it off, and I don't know when I ever will.
Yeah, no,
I'm super proud of it.
I've got warm fuzzies for like our horse show hot dog T-shirts. I wear a lot of AON T-shirts. Like,
your horse show hot dog shirts are fucking sweet.
We need to go with the new AON shirt. I feel like it's been a long time since we've done the redesign, but like it'd be fun to do another one. We should figure that out but the thing is, like, I fucking love that. Like, and that's still a thing where it's like, okay, if I'm gonna go do, like, for instance, tonight we did Fearless Lab. Like, I think carefully about the shirt I'm going to wear.
Yeah.
And I try to wear, like, a shirt that has, like, a band I like, or a shirt that has a podcast I'm on, or a friend's thing, or whatever. Tonight, I chose, as you can see, because I came directly from Fearless Lab, the shirt I got along with my pajama pants from Ethel and Seth's wedding. So it has a beer, some dice, a heart, and a English bulldog on it.
Yeah.
Because, oh, no, French bulldog, I'm sorry.
Yep.
Because why wouldn't you? And I was like, this is
it's their wedding.
This is an orange shirt with blueprint of four things no one will understand in context. And that made me happy.
Yep.
Yes.
So I was like,
excellent.
Good luck, audience. Before, decipher this code.
Before we go any further, we have drinks.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
We have drinks in front of us. This drink has a story.
Oh.
All right. First, thereby hangs a tale. First, I'm going to tell you what it is, and then I'm going to tell you the story.
Okay.
This is Seattle Cider's Pumpkin Spice Hard Cider.
Okay.
So here's the story.
Is it really basic?
Back before the election, one of my coworkers was convinced that a certain Donald Trump was going
way
to
back
win
in the 1970s
was going to win the election, and we had a developer who was absolutely convinced that no, he was not. And so she bet him.
Tale as old as time.
She bet him if when Donald Trump lost, he was going to have to drink those.
Mm.
We know now that did not happen.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so these two cans of Seattle cider, pumpkin spice hard cider, have been sitting next to my desk at work ever since.
Oh my God.
Oh,
because nobody wanted them. And so there they have sat. Neglected until finally somebody walked by the desk and said, why are these still here? And we said, because nobody wants them. And I looked at him and I said, fuck it, I know how to get rid of them.
I'll podcast about them.
Matt, we're leftover booze people.
I am very aware of that.
So that is what we're drinking tonight.
So this is just straight pumpkin spice hard cider from
Seattle Cider.
All right.
By the way, this smells like the Trump presidency.
Oh yeah.
All right. Let's see what we get.
I'm not happy with it, but it could be a lot worse.
Yeah, do me a favor and throw a little whiskey in that guy.
I'm going to say that's not great, but...
Let's give it a little kick.
But I've had worse. Yeah, the pumpkin spice ale, I think, was
we may do better worse. Jumping it up. No, for sure. Because I think it's hard to overcome the flavor of an apple in a cider.
Yeah.
By adding, especially something as kind of flat and subtle as pumpkin. So I think that is working in the favor of this by going, you can't just make this... Because if they said, okay, it's going to be a...
You jumped the fuck up.
Sour apple pumpkin spice cider.
Should I drink it now or should I wait for you to jump yours up?
He can't even be bothered to care. Okay. Yeah, go for it. You be the... You're our space monkey. I'm just going to stand here waiting for my Johnny to get jumped.
You didn't ask.
I didn't. Piece of shit. Anyway.
I mean... That makes it better.
All right.
It's not.
Did you try your salsa?
Yeah. It does help a little bit.
Yeah. It gives it. It gives it like something to hold on
a little,
to.
I think you have a little body.
You have to enjoy.
I don't want
to
call it body. Like, that's a shitty body. But it gives it something fun.
Yeah, but
to
if
hold
you squint and tilt your head.
If you have enough of these,
I would say that if you want to do this, I would say the better way to do it is to throw the shot of whiskey in it. Oof. You have to be someone that likes the taste of booze, which is the thing that like Megan and I were lamenting today when people mix drinks is that often drinks are created to make sure you can't tell there's booze in them, and it's like no, part of the reason I drink mixed drinks is I like the taste of the booze.
To like a good old fashioned where you're just drinking
for sure. We were talking about vodka because we were talking about like most top shelf quote unquote vodka like. Is the thing people will try to sell you on it is like, oh, it's this effervescent, like, whew, it's just gone. You barely even taste it. And it's like, well, I don't want that. Mm-hmm. I want to taste my drink. And
you don't taste it, you feel it.
Yeah, right. And so, and don't get me wrong, I like Grey Goose. Grey Goose is good.
But you're more of a gin guy.
Exactly. But even for vodkas, if you guys had Tito's vodka, have we done that?
I don't know.
Remind me to bring a bottle of Tito's sometime.
I think you've talked about it. We've had
so many drinks.
It's I feel like I've only discovered it recently. It's a vodka made out of Austin, Texas.
Okay.
Tito's vodka. And it's just like some family thing, distillery, whatever, that's gotten big enough. But it's like, it's become one of Megan's favorites. And so that is a pour she'll bring over quite frequently because she's like, okay, here's the deal. I don't want gut rot vodka. But I also don't want your super fancy vodkas that just are like, oh, this effervescent, it just evaporates. She's like, no, I want to know I'm drinking something. Right. And this one is like the right mix of like, oh yeah. This is fucking booze. I'm an adult. But it also tastes good. And it's like, I get that. But I think that is the thing we expect more from your brown liquors, your whiskeys, your scotches, your tequilas, from your gin or your vodka. Often, like, a sign of quality is that you can't taste it, which is weird, right?
Right.
And so, but she's like, no, fuck all that. I'm like, oh, that's good to know. And she's right, because, like, Tito's to me... is it's more like a whiskey, but it's a vodka. And so, I'll make sure I bring a bottle in to do an episode one time, because it would be fun to see what you guys think, because it is really good. I like it a lot. But you would not, or at least in my experience, would not make a like vodka martini out of it, because it will not give you that experience. It's not that kind of drink. Maybe a vodka sour?
All right.
But even a vodka tonic, you're like, nope, because it'll seem like a whiskey tonic, which is not a thing.
Right.
You know, like, it's got its own body. So it's for us, it's like a sipping shot, like an ice cube, and you're good in the way you would with, like, again, a brown alcohol. So, yeah, it's interesting. But, yeah, I feel like this cider is... It's interesting. I prefer it with a bit of the whiskey because it kind of gives everything a bit of a whiskey taste. And I like the taste of whiskey.
There you go.
Indeed. So,
excellent. So, you should talk about lab.
Real quick, I'll talk about lab. We're recording late again tonight because I had a lab show, which, once again, if you're unfamiliar but live in the Minneapolis area, you can come see the lab. Second Tuesday of every month at Honey in Minneapolis. Pay what you want. And every show is different because I find out who's going to be booked as I book people. And we had a great fucking show this month. We had Aidan Milligan did some stand-up.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
We had Nancy Majestad did a thing that I've seen a couple people do, and I got to be a small part of her version of it, which was to be the comedian that never quite gets to doing their act for like 5 minutes. As she works on her mic stand and has issues with the sound guy. And we actually had to talk to the tech beforehand and get him in on
make
the
bit, sure
like,
he was,
are you
yeah.
cool
yeah.
to play? Otherwise, I'll pretend to be you. And he's like, yeah, that sounds fucking fun. Which, good for them. Which, again, Honey's yeah. fucking awesome. If
you're oh, yeah, yeah.
And, like, and so she ends up doing shtick for, like, 5 minutes. And she's like, all right. So I'm at the bar the other night. I'm like, and that's it for Nancy Majestad. I fucking cut her off. She's like, like,
nice.
And like, I was, it wasn't flawless,
right?
But it was fucking fearless. Mm-hmm. And I
experimental.
She sent me like an email, like, here's what I'm planning on doing. And I didn't read it until like 2 hours before the show. And I was like, this is fucking great. I love this concept. So, like, I fucking love it. I love that she brings crazy. She's like, it's lab. I'm going to try shit. I'm like, yeah. fuck yes.
Yeah.
Awesome. She fucking gets it. So that was awesome. And then we had, let me think. The next group we had was Wet Commute, which is a new improv team of three people who I think just finished like a second level class at Huge. So they're new to improv relatively, and also like relatively new to each other, and came in and did a three-person thing. I know one of them, Michael, from doing Redshift. He's one of the voice actors for the nice. Redshift podcast. And I know JoJo, because she did
Love Letters
with me. And I didn't know who was in the group besides Michael. He's the one that booked the show with me. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know if there were 10 people or one person or whatever. And I was like, oh, fuck, I actually know you. And then I did another guy, and I can't remember his name now, which I warned them I would forget all this. And so, but they did a really great set that was a lot of tag outs. So it was just kind of one story that kept getting bigger and more elaborate and more insane. And they were fascinating to watch. And this is a compliment, even though it might sound a little backhanded. But to me, watching them was part of the joy of watching young improvisers who really take the lessons to heart
and
only say yes and only heighten and really listen. And it's like you've not learned bad habits from getting good yet,
right?
Which is why you're so good. And so
it's such a purity in improv.
It's so good. Yeah. It's you know what I mean? Like, you know, when you see it, right?
The greatness of improv is the improv. And when you get all the good parts of that, you don't have to try to be tricksy or anything else.
But I watched these three people, and I don't know how long they've been performing. It's not long, but they nailed it. They were very, very, very good. And I told them they're welcome back anytime. And then the one day after that was, and again, I'm not sure what name we decided on. But we had Kyle Decker from Fearless and your podcast, Movie Machine podcast. But I think he's been on Terms of Disagreement.
He's been on,
And he's done the Hot Chocolate Media stuff, you know, with the
pretty active
Superhero Academy. Yeah. Like, he's everywhere, right?
Yeah,
done some fringe shows and all that shit.
You
been
can
in
come
some
see
the,
him in Human Combat Chess.
Human Combat Chess, and so you know,
he's
Kyle's
one of those guys that just quietly does everything.
Yeah, right. Kyle's been in a lot of things, and it turns out Kyle also got a scholarship from Huge to do like Improv 201.
Wow, really?
Which was a surprise to Kyle because Kyle wasn't taking classes at Huge. And Kyle found out, it might have been actually at the night that you guys came to see Love Letters. That might have been the night he found out.
Okay, I think so.
Because I believe Bree, has Bree been on the show yet? Have we done that?
I don't think we have.
And
we need to do that.
Okay, we'll fix
that.
Failures.
We'll fix that. Because we have both improv and Festa. Okay, well, I'll fix that. I'll talk to Bree. Me and Bree and Shelly and Jeff have a plan this Friday to see The Last Witch Hunter, because Shay and I have been trying to see it for a year and a half.
Okay.
And so we're like, okay, it's happening.
And you're really looking for campy Vin Diesel.
Yes.
Yes.
Is it though there's any other kind?
No, exactly.
Right. But we finally nailed it down.
If you go in expecting campy Vin Diesel,
I'm just saying,
not be disappointed.
All I'm saying is, trust me, next week, I will be talking about Vin Diesel in The Last Witch Hunter. But at any rate, I
will
have
to talk to
Bree. If
you go in with expectations of just having fun with campy, D&D characters, then you're going to have a great time.
No, but we've had Shay on. She brought the amazing pies.
Yep.
I would love to have both Brie and Jeff on, either together or separate or both.
Agreed.
Like, that'd be fun. Right. So anyway, we'll get to that. But I just lost my train of thought. What happened?
Improv Kyle Decker, 201.
So Brie, who works for Huge, runs up and is like, congratulations, you know, you got the scholarship for the thing. And he goes, I'm not taking improv currently. He has taken classes and he's going to take more, but he's like, but I'm not right now. And she goes, I swear you were the guy. Yeah, dude, you got the thing. He's like, but I'm not.
But I didn't apply for it.
And she's like, how do you spell your name? And she, oops. And it turns out, now, Kyle Decker, that works with us and all the things we just mentioned, is Kyle Decker, D-E-K-K-E-R. Kyle Decker, D-E-C-K-E-R, is the guy who applied for said scholarship and is an improviser and got a scholarship based on them thinking he was our Kyle Decker.
Oh, God.
With his body of work. And so Kyle's like, oh, that's really funny. I had no idea there's another Kyle. Cool. So he'll just get it then. Yeah, okay, cool. Also, next time I want to take classes, can I just be like, dude, clearly I qualify. So we'll see how that plays out. But then because he's a goddamn genius, the second thing Kyle did was, beep, bop, boop. Hey, other Kyle. We should be in an improv group together. Yes. And so at lab tonight, which started at 7:30, when they went on as the fourth act, Kyle and Kyle had known each other for approximately 75 minutes.
That's brilliant.
They met about 20 minutes before we opened the house, warmed up with Wet Commute, and then came up and did a set. Having never met each other, seen each other, or worked together before, and fucking killed.
Oh, Jesus.
That's the amazing part. They fucking killed. It was so goddamn good. And it's not that, like, oh, our Kyle's really funny, and there's this other guy. Other dude is fucking funny as shit. Yeah. Like, no, Kyle had to up his game. And, like, Kyle, wow. I'm going to tell you, you're fish. You got to get funnier. But, no, they were a really fun duo. And they kind of explained a little bit about why that had happened before they started, and they were like, fuck it, all right, need a suggestion, circus, all right. Fuck it, okay, and they just, they did
fuck it, we'll do it live.
And I gave them like 12 to 15 minutes, yeah, somewhere in that range, and they own that stage. And then, you know, like, it was so goddamn good. And so I truly hope that they enjoyed doing it as much as I enjoyed watching, and the audience clearly loved it. So I hope that that just becomes a thing because of a weird accident. Because that's an amazing origin story.
Right? Yeah.
So every month...
No, you're not going to find another guy named Salsa
Platinum. No. God, like, that's never going to happen. No. What I was going to say is every month you come here after lab and you tell us about what happened at lab.
Sure.
And it's always fucking amazing.
Right?
It truly is.
And that's... When we first conceptualized Fearless Lab, what, 4 years ago?
Yeah, I think it was like Molly, Nick... And, then,
and me,
like, Porter.
It was Molly, Nick, and me. I was actually the head of the. I was the head of that
there were
committee.
Like four or five people,
and then I had to bow out.
I was not
2 months
of the people
in
initially involved at all
because I had to bow out immediately because I had, you know,
issues.
My wife was pregnant.
I was
just
say, if I remember right, your wife was about to shit out a kid.
Exactly. Yeah. So this, about 4 years, 3 or 4
yeah,
years
give
ago.
Or take.
But I just remember we had that idea of just this place where people could try shit out. And we were like, okay, it's going to be this, probably going to be this thing where 4 people show up and it's going to be the person's mom and they're going to try weird shit. And sometimes it's going to be funny and sometimes it's just going to be, you know, somebody up there writing notes, and, you know, to themselves on note paper. And now, like 3 or 4 years later, you're coming here and you're talking about all these crazy things that these people are trying that they don't get the opportunity to try anywhere else.
And some strong names, too.
Some super strong names, but they're doing things that no other place would probably let them
do. We
do
get to see things that they can't do other places.
Exactly.
Which is something that I think.
And so the fact that Fearless Lab has turned into that, oh, it makes me so happy. It fucking... I'm just chuffed as hell.
I sit at the back of the audience.
Chuffed is a fantastic word, by the way.
I do love chuffed. Well, thank you. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it is... I take no ownership of what the show is. The show is what the people bring to it.
Oh, no, no, don't get me wrong. I wasn't giving you credit.
No, I know. But I'm just saying, to explain it. Like,
At best, you're a facilitator. Yeah.
I was giving Fearless credit for coming up with the idea.
No, but that's...
You're giving yourself credit.
But
Sure. But that is a big... I think that's important, is that, like, it is... This isn't... And this is something I try to point out every monthly meeting we have. I say, Lab went well. Mm-hmm. If someone else would like to direct Lab and book Lab or produce Lab, mm-hmm. let me know. Someone else can. I do it in lieu of anyone else asking. Because the Lab is its own thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's become a thing people like to do. Different people might be able to draw from different communities to create a show. And I welcome that. I love that. I actually have one. I think August will be booked and produced by Kara White.
I think the thing you probably need to do in the meetings is not just say, if anybody's interested, is say, Lab is meant to try new things out, and that includes producing.
Good point, yeah. Because that is one of the things.
Because if you couch it that way, you might get more takers.
Yeah, and I said, Kara's going to do August, because she's like, I think I want to try that. And she's like, I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions. I'm like, absolutely.
Yeah.
I'll share whatever knowledge I have.
All right.
I would, if someone else wants to do August instead of me, awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I've got June half booked and a couple for July, but if someone else wants to take care of August, sweet.
So right when Fest is rolling up and you got a lot of other stuff going on, I don't have to worry about this thing. Cool.
But the thing is that anyone could bring the talent that they're aware of or the talent they're able to attract and create a thing. And the idea is the show is as good as the people it brings. And the whole point of a showcase is to show that there's a ton of talented people.
Yeah.
And if you give them a stage, they will entertain you. And I think we're kind of hitting a certain stride where... Mm-hmm. And this is the thing that Matt and Mattingly's Ice Cream Social talks about. They've been doing like the Bucket Show in Vegas for like 3 years. And they're like, in Vegas, people are like, oh, I'm going to tell my friends to go see you. They're like, that's fucking irrelevant. Because your friends won't be in Vegas for 5 years. That no one, you know, this isn't like the same thing as recommending a show in your town. Now, if you're a show in a destination like that and you've been around for 5 years, like a Cirque show, people will go see your Cirque show and they're like, well, we've been around for like 3 years. Now it actually matters. If you say, I had a good time at the Bucket Show, and you tell your friends, we are still here. If they come to town, they could see the Bucket Show. And that is actually, I heard that like 2 weeks ago and I was like, oh, fuck, that's what Lab's become.
Mm-hmm.
We've been around long enough that you could tell your friend who's like, I don't know, I just got to find some stage time. Well, you talk to the guy from the Lab. Oh, okay. It's that easy?
Yeah.
It is that easy.
Yep.
You know, and like that's the thing. It's like you just have to exist long enough, which is this is my formula for success of all kinds in art, is just hang around longer than everybody else. And you'll sort of succeed.
I mean, it is true.
Yeah.
Like, it does. Everybody else quits because it sucks. They have, you know, bills or kids or college or a trip or they move. And it's like...
Yeah, I quit because I had a bill.
You know, but you know...
Yes.
Nice. But you know what I mean? But most people find a reason to stop.
Right.
The people that succeed are just the ones that just don't quit. It's not that I'm funnier than anyone else. Someone else is funnier than me. That we just keep going.
Something my dad used to say is it took him 30 years to become an overnight success.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, that's fantastic.
But you've got to put in the 30 years to do it.
Yeah, it's nice. Who had the flight time theory? 10,000 hours and you're an expert in something.
Yeah.
And by then, you'll show up on a thing and people go, oh my God, where was this person? They blew up overnight. And it's like, because you didn't watch them fail at county fairs for 25 years.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Like you saw them on Letterman. Like, and that's exactly it. And so what I would like to be is a stepping stone on people's path to Letterman.
Mm-hmm.
So you want people to walk all over you?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Cool.
Absolutely. If I
wanted to state that.
You know, and again, I'm already saying I would like to be, because Lab is not mine. I don't consider Lab mine. Lab belongs to Fearless. I facilitate Lab until someone else does.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very important to me that Lab exists. Therefore, I will make sure Lab always exists.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And again, you know, putting out there for you local folk that want to perform or come see it. In general, second Tuesday of every month at Honey pay what you want.
And if your response is, I have an idea, but I don't know. No, the answer is, that's what lab is for.
That's what it's for. Yeah. And if you're not sure it'll work, neither are we.
Yeah.
Every time.
But that's okay.
And if you have an idea, and you're like, I don't know, is this the kind of thing? Shoot me an email and say, I'd like to try this at lab. And if I go, okay, you need one more person, I'll be that person. I stepped in and was the extra person in someone's bit tonight because they were like, I need a person to say these four things. Okay, I'll say those four things.
Yeah.
I'm there. I'm going to be there anyway. Like, fuck it. I'll do it. Like, it's a really fun thing. So anyway, I should point out, just to wrap on lab.
I was about to say, we've been talking.
Talking a lot. I didn't intend for that to go so long. We did close the show with Doom Kitten and Dogbone.
Oh, yeah.
Which is one of my favorite things. That's,
God, they are so fantastic.
One of our favorite musician comedy acts, and they did a song that I believe was completely new.
Nice.
At least I haven't heard it before. And then another one I heard, Nathan just wrecked shop. And I never remember the name of the guy that plays guitar. I never remember Dogbone's name.
Yeah, I know that I know it, and I can't think of
but
what
they,
the fuck
yeah,
it
is.
You
they,
say it, and I'll go, yeah, then I totally
exactly.
knew that.
But they, but, yeah, they just, you know, they, I was like, okay, I had to put them in the end to make sure they could get there on time. And they were there plenty early, it was fine. But I was like, all right, who's ready for some music? And they just destroyed and had the whole audience going. And we had a, which is one of my favorite things, a bunch of people that were getting there to be performers in the next show, watching from the bar and laughing and clapping along and all that shit. Like, I love that. The last 10 minutes of our show often attracts the crowd that is getting ready to perform in the following show. And that is, to me, high praise. Like, that, you know, that's just, okay, this is good. I didn't plan on seeing a show, but I'm glad I'm seeing your show. And it's like, cool, guys. Like, thank you for being awesome. So, lab was good, is what I'm saying. okay, my one tangent from that I'll point out is the thing I talked about during, because, again, I used the opener of lab as kind of my own personal journal and blog or whatever. Mm-hmm. So this thing happened to me where a few days ago I went to my sister's house because, as I've said, I went to Disney World with my family. Mm-hmm. And as usual, I bought a sake set and had it sent home. And my parents like put it in their luggage because I was like taking Spirit Airlines, you know.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, cool. Well, we left it at Beth's house because she lives in South Minneapolis, back kind of close to where you used to live, Jenna. And so it's like, okay, so that's easy to pick up. So we'll put it in Beth's luggage. You can pick it up out of a garage. You have a garage code. I'm like, okay, cool. So finally, like last weekend, I'm like, I got to head this direction anyway to, I forget what, go do a reading or something. I'll swing by Beth's on the way. So I go to Beth's house. And I call on the way. No answer. I'm like, okay, she's probably out doing something. It's a Saturday, whatever. So I get to her house. I park. I call her one more time. No answer. So I'm parked in the alley by her garage, and I punch in the garage code. Garage opens. Car's there. I'm like, that's odd. Whatever. She's probably doing something. There's my little box with my sake set. And I walk into the garage, and I pick it up. And I'm walking back out, I realize the side door, like the human-sized door for the garage, is open. And the keys are hanging from the knob.
Oh.
Huh.
Right.
So I kind of look at that, I go, all right, and I go, I like toss my shit in my car, and I kind of walk back, and I look at it, and I go, that's weird. Okay, well, I mean, maybe she came home, and she was like, had to pee real bad or whatever, right? She's in a hurry or something.
Right.
And she gets out of the car, and she like opens the door, but why would she need to open the door? No, the keys are on the outside. That doesn't make sense.
Huh.
All right, so I'm like, all right, cool. So I walk through her backyard. It's a small backyard. I walk to the backyard and I go to the house. And the screen door is shut, but the door is open. The back door of the house.
Okay.
And I'm like, that's weird. So I'm like, Beth? Nothing. All right. Beth. I'm like, Beth, it's your brother. Okay. So I open the screen door and I go in the house. And now I'm standing in her kitchen, and I've been there a few times. Like, that's not weird. I know what it looks like. I know the rough layout of the house, but I've never been there, like, uninvited, you know? And so I'm like, okay, this is weird. Like, okay. She's pooping. Or she's sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or something, like, right? So you're like, okay, but like, but would, but this is weird, so like, I gotta make sure everything's okay?
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm like, all right, people, so like,
I'm gonna leave your keys hanging in the garage. So
I'm standing in the kitchen going like, all right, you know, and I kind of like walk toward the side of the kitchen that leads towards the bathroom, but the bathroom door is open, there's no one in there. I'm like, fuck, all right. But that's near the stairs to go upstairs. I'm like, Beth? Nothing. Okay, cool. Go out in the living room. No one's in the living room. Walk back in, like, near the door to the basement. I'm like, Beth? Nothing. All right. And that's when I see that her cell phone is on the counter. And now I'm going, I just called her. Am I in the wrong house?
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. Am I a fucking burglar right now?
Oh, my God.
Because, like, you know how housing looks like? You can have the exact same fucking house.
But you just got the box.
You'd think. And so right. What I do is, but that does not matter because logic does not enter.
Right,
so I pick up my phone and I call her and I watch her phone vibrate and go, whew, okay. Because I'm a 6'3" fucking big dude. This is like a rape. And I'm like, nope. So I was like, I gotta make sure. Because like, theory is Black Mirror. That is my first theory, is that like Sci-Fi Channel, Black Mirror, weird alternate reality. Okay. I go to jail forever. And I'm like, okay.
No, we're in Twilight Zone territory here.
Yeah, so I'm like, okay. Here's a missed call. Two missed calls for me. Okay. Now what? Okay. So, now. Okay. She's. Okay. I have to go upstairs. Because maybe something's wrong. Something could be. She could. I don't know, maybe she had, like, a heart attack, or, like, maybe someone killed her, or she, I don't know, I go upstairs. Okay. And I, like, walk around the corner, start climbing the stairs, and I go, wait, what if she had a heart attack when she's naked? I don't want to see my sister naked.
Wait, what?
This is literally the thought process.
Go through that thought process again. Say that again.
What if she's naked?
Okay.
I don't want to see my sister if she's naked. That would be an indignity to her. And so I go, I'm like three steps to the stairs.
But you're
like,
worried about if she had a heart attack.
I'm worried about if she's dead. If like,
and
like,
naked.
Again, like, logic does like, not come into this.
Or like, what if she slipped in the shower?
Right, whatever. Yeah.
But like, I can't hear a shower, so it seems unlikely. But like, maybe she turned off the shower and then slipped falling out.
Yeah.
But I'm like, oh my God.
All of the worst case scenarios
I'm like,
at this point.
She could be dead in this house right now. Or she could be nearly dead and need someone to call the emergency services. I don't know. I have to find out.
Right.
And so I start going up the stairs. I'm like, wait, fuck, what if she's naked? And my brain's like, what if she's naked? I'm like, well, I mean, what do I do? And they're like, you fucking call, whatever. I'm like, yeah, but do I have to go into the room first and see her naked? And they're like, my brain's like, dude, weak. And I'm like, no, but seriously, though. And my brain's like, I see your point. And so I back down the stairs.
Oh, Jesus.
And I'm like, okay, call mom. Call mom. Mom will fix it all. And I'm like, well, mom,
you are a grown adult man.
I know. And I'm like, mom's seen her naked. And my brain's like, mom lives like 35 minutes away. That's
God.
Not going to work. I'm like, right. If she's dead, mom can't help. Okay. Also, I probably shouldn't trouble mom because mom will find out. It'll be bad enough no matter what. Okay. Wait, is it worse if mom finds out for me or worse if mom finds out later? How long is the problem for people find out? Fuck it. We'll just sit in the basement. I'll check the basement. She could be naked in the basement. And so
I
like to open the door to the basement and then like shut that door. And then it's like, no, this is all very troubling. I'm like, okay, so I'm standing in her kitchen holding my phone going like, I don't know what to do. What do I do? She might be dead. She's probably... She is. Statistically, she's fine. But what do I do? What if she's dead? What if she's not dead? If she's not dead and is like gasping her last breath upstairs right now while I'm uptight about this, that's the worst. However, no one will know because only I will know. That's okay. And so I'm still having this... Well, because I wouldn't be telling the story this way if I knew.
Oh,
and so,
God.
Like, I'm having this whole thing. And finally I go, oh, I know what to do. And I walk back to my truck and I leave.
Oh my God.
And I get a text like 3 hours later from my sister that's like, holy shit. I got home from taking a walk in my neighborhood and I left my door open, which I never ever do. And it was like, someone's been in my house and freaked me the fuck out. And then I got your voicemail that was like, are you okay? What's going on? Oh, there's your phone. Call me? And she's like, so I got your voicemail, but that was like the scariest thing that's ever happened to me. And I was like, oh, ha, ha, ha. And I sent her that text. I told her this full story that I just told you Saturday, her birthday.
Oh, my God.
At my parents' house. Where I was like, you're either naked or dead. And she's like, I see what you're saying. I'm like, think about it. Would you want to stumble into my house and find me sprawling in the bed naked and dead? She goes, oh, God, oh, oh, God, no. And I'm like, there you go. So, like, my sister's endorsed my actions.
So what you're saying is, 'tis better for the neighbor to find them dead.
Yes! Or that, their mother who's wiped that ass before. I'm just saying. I respect her privacy. Privacy, if you will.
Privacy.
Jenna, what you been up to?
Fuck. You're just going to drop that on me, huh?
I don't want to follow that.
All right, I'm going to bring it down a little bit.
Love you, Beth.
Tonight I helped my daughter make her bed.
Okay.
And by that I mean, like, physically put together
assemble.
A bed.
Assemble?
Yes.
Oh!
Right?
Fancy.
In the meantime, that meant she had to clean her room, so that was an ordeal.
Hey.
Because she's a teenager.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was a surprisingly good project. Because like 5 years ago, I would have helped my daughter make her bed, and by that I mean I would have put together the bed for her while she got in the way a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Today, like, I did one part while she was doing another, and then we switched aspect, like, it was, you know, like a click it together kind of thing.
They hit an age where they're useful. Little, it's weird.
Little yeah. It was one of those kits that like comes with its own little tiny wrench and all the other stuff. So it's got all of the tools, even though I have a tool kit because I'm a fucking adult. But
I was gonna say you're a tool, but the salsa's shaking his head in shame. Maybe.
No. I'm. How old is she?
She is 16.
Yeah.
Well done.
So, I guess I know better than you. I have no idea how old your kids are.
No. I'm going to say something that is completely not helpful in any way, shape, or form. But I grew up on a farm. 16, they should have been making shit for a long time.
Yeah,
that's true. But yeah, at 16, you could rebuild a carburetor.
Exactly.
Yeah. But that's a different animal. Yeah.
There are different skills that she has at 16.
Absolutely.
For instance, she's funny.
Oh yeah, no, definitely. I was gonna say, that is something I did not have. I'm just
still.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
No, like, I was fucking 7 years old if my dad would have been like, you figure it out.
Yep. Yeah. But anyway, but the point of the story is mm-hmm. that she and I worked on this together. I mean, she could have done it by herself, but we worked on it together. And it was really cool to be a partner with my daughter
mm-hmm.
in building something.
And you
wasn't me in charge. She read the instructions. She told me mm-hmm. what needed to go where. And
so you collaborated on building a thing.
First they stopped.
And you don't hate
and then
each other.
They listened.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's the part impresses me the most.
No, I mean, we've...
Is they worked out... Mother and daughter worked out... Mother and teenage daughter worked together
on
something. Yeah,
teenage is especially important.
Yeah.
And didn't hate each other afterwards.
I don't,
Not just mother and teenage daughter, but child going through her second puberty.
Yeah.
Like, back to back. Didn't even make it through the first one.
Yeah, I should say, I don't know if I could have pulled this off during a puberty, but like... you know, as an older person, like, one of my favorite things still is, like, my dad will be like, hey, I need help doing this.
Yeah.
And we go work on a project together. And when you can do that as two equal participants in the project, that's a special thing.
Yeah.
It really is. And it's hard to explain or describe to me.
Right.
Because you're like, well, as a kid, it'd be like, well, it's time to paint the garage. And it's like, you're old enough to, like, flop a paintbrush around, so you do the low part. You're like, this is fucking bullshit and this sucks.
Mm-hmm.
But you might be 25 and go, this still sucks, but I'm going to do it because, you know, I owe the old man or whatever. But there's a difference. And mm-hmm. there's a thing where you're like, oh, actually, turns out this is some of my favorite time spent with my parent. And like, you know, with my dad or my mom, whether that's, you know, building a thing or fixing a thing or mending a thing or whatever. Like, there's weird things like that where you're like, oh, shit, we're relating as adults. But we care because we're family.
Right.
And it's hard to describe, but like it is unlike anything else, and it's one of my favorite
things. No, that relationship has changed.
Yeah,
it's not a dependee thing anymore. Now it's
that gets in the way, right?
Yeah. Like, well, and here's the thing. Yeah, that totally gets in the way. I the thing is that I haven't done projects with my parents because, you know, my family is weird.
Sure. Yeah.
I've done projects with Steve. That's cool. Mm-hmm. But yeah. With my parents, I haven't had that going from the dependent to an adult with my responsible adults.
Everybody gets to.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. It's like, it's a joy if you get to.
Yeah. So, being able to experience Jessa going from, you know, like, dependent to less dependent to now we can actually communicate and smack each other with baseboards. That kind
sounds
of
good
a thing,
so far.
Right? And just, you know, work on this and figure it out together. It's mm-hmm. fantastic. It's like as a parent, your goal is to get your child to 18 and at least baseline functional as an adult.
Yeah, sounds about right. Yeah.
And you do something like this when they're 16 and you're like, hey, shit, I'm not totally fucking this up.
Yeah, like, mm-hmm. I've clearly made some progress.
Yeah. This
Look at me go.
Turn out okay.
Yeah.
I think the thing that my parents like the most now that all of their kids are adults is now, especially with my family, because my family, every single one of us has gone off and done ridiculous things with our lives. Like, I'm a fucking sideshow carny. I've got
a
brother.
I'm pretty sure you win on the ridiculous things you've done.
You would be surprised.
Tell us more, Salsa.
Let me pull up my fainting valise.
No. It's just like my sister.
Wait, valise is a bag.
My sister has lived in.
Chaise lounge.
My sister has lived in Germany and China. I have a brother who jumps out of airplanes. I have another brother who goes around the world with the military every so often and can't tell us why.
You have a taffy.
Oh my God.
Basically, yeah. And I mean, just like
shit.
Like my sibling, my oldest brother worked for Microsoft and Google and Coca-Cola and other companies like that as one of their high level IT people. Like, my family has done some really crazy shit with their lives.
Yeah. I still say I started swallowing wins on the really crazy level.
Well, I think jumping out of airplanes.
Although jumping out of the airplane is
pretty up there,
second.
Too.
They get parachutes. You get nothing of the sort.
Although living in China for a year is probably right up there on the danger scale. But anyway, my parents love all that shit. They fucking love it. Because my dad shows up at my house, you know, and to visit, you know, for the weekend and see their grandkids and stuff like that. And while they're here, I'm like, Dad, come help me make a batch of beer. And my dad, like,
he's like,
and my dad gets to live vicariously through us now, you know, instead of the, you know, him imparting wisdom on the kids. Now he gets to show up and the kids go, this is what we're going to do now. And he loves that. Both of my parents absolutely adore it because they can do that. They can show up at my brother's house in Alaska and go hiking and see bears and shit like that. And they get to do all these things.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait for that to turn around for me. Jessa can teach me shit. I mean, other than how to bill, because she's already 10 times better at it than I am.
Oh, for real, she is.
She really is.
No, I have yet to...
We've known she was funny since she was, like, 5.
That's true. No, I have yet to find the thing where I can be like, oh, well, Mom or Dad, here's how this goes. Because I don't do anything that they do well.
Right.
Well, if they were like, I'd like to learn comedy, I'd be like, well, okay, I can give you some tips.
But it's not
but like, there's no...
Yeah.
But it's not about learning how to do it yourself. It's being able to, you know, listen to the conversation that you have about, mm-hmm. I did this 50-hour comedy marathon and hear the stories and just go, that is really crazy and I never thought that was a thing that would ever exist and now my kid is doing that.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
That's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah, my parents do have that. They do a lot of, like, what did you do again? And I explain, they go, oh, wow, okay. And then, like, so, yeah, okay. Well, you have fun? I get a lot of that. And it's not like, it sounds worse than it is, but it is partly that, I literally don't even know what you mean, but it seems like it was good and you were excited about it, so good? Like, they're just, at, all my parents ever have seemed to ask for is like, we're happy for you now, yes? Like, you know, like, like Clever Hans, like, stomp once if it's good. You know, like, that's all they're like. So, you're fucked happy. Up your knee, and a guy might put you in your underwear online. That's, you win?
Because, because like, you jumped yes. out of the theater like, yeah, onto like, Lake a, Street in your underwear.
Right, and it's like, yeah, they'll
in the winter like, wearing yeah. nothing right. but...
Because I have to keep going like, oh my god, I had the best day. And they're like, what happened? I'm like, well, they lit my ass on fire at the Beggar's Bank. And they're the like, garbage what?
Bag to my ass.
That was a different year. And like, and then it's like, what? And they're like, yeah, no, I did this thing when we shot this pilot. Like, you know, and I was wearing these like fake things and it looks like I'm naked. And I worked with a Mary Jo Peele from Miss Sunshine 3000. It's going to be on the internet. And they're like, oh, okay. So everyone can see it? I'm like, yeah, it'll be for everyone. They're like, oh. I'm like, oh, you meant that in a different way. You know? And I'm like, yeah, it'll be on Kickstarter. They're like, oh, okay. And like, oh, we need people to like share it and raise money. I'm like, okay, send us the link. Like, see? You know, and like, they're doing their best at all times, but they're also like, what the ever-loving fuck? Because I told my mom, right. I'm like, Ma, you got a picture of that jersey from, you know, you in the jersey? And she's like, what? I'm like, you know, the jersey we talked about. Because I was, you know, literally at my
that
parents
was funny as
on
hell.
Saturday, at literally right. my sister's birthday. Yeah. All this shit was true. And I'm like, can I see the jersey? And she's like, oh, yeah, here it is. And it's a fucking fully framed jersey. I'm like, that's fucking magnificent. Yeah. And she's like, why didn't you see it? I'm like, because I'm going to talk about it on Tuesday. Because what's Tuesday? I'm like, the lab show. What's the lab? Like, it's the show I do. I talk about what I've been doing that this month, and I'm going to talk about you. Oh, do you want to talk about this? I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, absolutely. Totally. My sister's like, you're not going to talk about me being dead and naked, are you? And I'm like, yes, I am. She goes, yeah, okay. We get it.
So. Okay. So, I mean, I don't talk to my mom anymore, and that is mm-hmm. what it is. But I do still talk to my dad sometimes. We're mm-hmm. Facebook friends. Mm-hmm. I acknowledge him as my father on the Facebooks, and in other places in life, too. But, like, I can't startle him with shit like you guys can. Like, because he's the one that introduced me to
Yeah, that. he's an old festie.
It's pretty much his fault that I'm doing this weird, mm-hmm. bizarre shit.
My kids will be very disappointed.
That, right?
That's the thing. Because like, my parents are squares.
Yeah.
I'm not cool, but I'm no square.
Right.
And so you're my kids weird. Will be like, I'm doing this. I'm like, oh, yeah, right on. Nice. And I'm like, fuck. And so eventually they're going to wear a pocket protector and go to like business school.
I was
like,
always afraid.
What's up now, Dad? I'm like, fuck.
I was always like, afraid Jessa was going to rebel by being like a Republican accountant.
Exactly.
Like,
yeah. She'll just be like,
family matters.
I'm an actuary now. What do you want? And it's like,
what was the show that Michael J. Fox was on?
Family Ties.
Family Ties. Yeah.
Yeah, he's the Republican for the hippie parents.
Yeah.
It is exactly that. That's the closest my kids could get to freaking out.
I remember when I was a teenager, I was going to like freak out my parents and be rebellious. I'm like, I'm going to dye my hair purple. And my mom was like, whatever, as long
Which
as
color?
It's clean.
Yeah.
And my dad was like, actually, a deep purple would look really good on you. And I'm like, fuck you, I'm trying to rebel. This isn't working.
Yep. No, and I've seen only hints of that because I think my kids are inured to that for the most part. They're still looking for the way to do it. Mm-hmm. Because mm-hmm. they're like, I'm thinking I'm going to shave my head. All right. I got a razor. You're going to pay for that. And they're like, oh. They're going to dye my hair. Oh, what color?
Cool.
I've done green and red and purple. And, mm-hmm. and they're like, oh.
I can show you a really good way
I'm
to
gonna,
keep it. Well,
I'm going to, I think we're going to, and like most of the time I go like, oh, yeah. I had a buddy who did that or I did that. And they're like, oh. And then most of these don't end up happening. Because they're like, fuck, I need the mm-hmm. one.
I'm going to get a tattoo
one.
On my penis. Be yeah, like, my friend has some poison on
me. I know my first tattoo is going to be, oh, okay, cool. What's it going to be? This sounds cool. If you still like that when you're 18, it sounds awesome. Oh. Okay. Well, and it's like, both Coda's done it. And, you know, Coda's 18. She's an adult.
Yeah.
So she's got a tattoo now.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
And she's, you know, doing her thing. And very little of that is that weird. Because I'm too weird to be weird against,
mm-hmm. right.
I think. You know, and like, Austin is still kind of like testing the weird boundaries because he's only 11. But
right.
it is part of that. You know, it's like, all right, yeah, go for it. But the problem is if you're just like, yeah, that doesn't sound like it's dangerous. Go for it. You know? All right.
You might scrape your knee.
And scrape your knee is all you can.
Oh my god, in today's parenting culture, fucking A, that is the weird parent is the one that's like, Yeah, all right. You might get bruised. Do it. Fucking learn.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's to self-aggrandize. No, when we did the Barely Legal show with Woman from Ville,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
When she finally turned 18 and we could do all the jokes about her, and we all had to give her advice. Like, I did a bunch of jokes, and the one I said was, like, skin your fucking knees. Get out there and do the stupid shit, make yep. your mistakes.
Yeah.
Right now, because you're young, and it won't matter, and you'll heal.
Yeah.
But that is the best thing you can do. If you yep. try to protect yourself from the world, you will never
mm-hmm.
get a better chance than now. And, right. you know, like, I believe that, which means I did the same thing for my kids. Like, I'm going to go try that. And as someone pointed out...
As long as it's not going to do lasting physical
right, no,
harm.
As someone, I can't remember the comedian, that pointed out that I think the comedian's joke is the first 2 years, which I think is conservative. I'll say the first 5 years of parenting is just suicide watch.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because the moment your kid is
sure
mobile...
That's Louis C.K.
It might be. But yeah, the moment your kid is mobile, they're just like...
It was like...
And like, what happens if I jump off this? Or I'm mad and you're holding me, so I'm going to go, wow! And you're like, what is that move? Like, you can't.
How would you even?
Like, yep. you shouldn't bend that way. And the only successful result of that move is a 5 foot drop to a concrete floor on your head. Mm-hmm. And so the first, few years of being a parent is suicide watch. But after that, kids have some notion of like, it hurts when I do this. I shouldn't do that. Yeah. But if they never experienced it, they might not know. And so your job then is to go, okay. If they ask for a thing that will only hurt, let it go. If that's for things that will kill them, stop it.
Right.
And that's kind of my rule.
It's pretty
like,
much,
take
you know.
Your lumps, oven's hot, yep. Move on. Yeah.
Remember last week when I said I was going to start teaching my kids to bake?
Mm-hmm.
We made, on Saturday, we made muffins.
What kind of muffins?
For breakfast.
They better be good.
Lemon poppy seed.
That's good. Good job.
Yeah.
Well chosen. Okay.
They were.
I was already yell at you for like blueberries or shit, but like,
no,
good job.
No.
I like blueberries. Shut blueberries. Your mouth.
They were from a mix. We're going to start light.
Oh, yeah.
Her attention span is 2 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. All you have to do is like add water, stir. Yeah,
exactly.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. But she put them in the oven. You know,
it's a big deal.
No, exactly. I pulled out the rack because she couldn't reach it, without. But I was like, don't touch the rack. But you're going to put this, and this is how you're going to do it. You're going to set the far side down, and then you're going to push the rest of the way on. So you're not shoving your whole arm in there. Mm-hmm. And I told her, this is the way you do it, and this is really hot, so don't touch it. But she put it in the oven. And she was so proud of that mm-hmm. fact.
Yeah.
You know? And she's going to burn herself one of these days.
Oh, she will, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But she's 3 years old, and I want her to have the confidence to be able to stand in front of an oven and stick something in it.
Mm-hmm. But that's one of those things where part of learning that is like, ow, this is hot, so mm-hmm. don't fuck around. But part of that is also like, ow, this is hot, but I'll live. I mean, I've got a fucking burn on my arm right now mm-hmm. because I work in a place that has ovens.
Yep. Mm.
Okay, and the reason I didn't flip out and drop the thing I was holding was because I went, that's going to hurt later. Mm-hmm. And you move on.
Yeah.
Because you had the experience of like, be careful, these are hot. Oop, you burned yourself. What did we learn? Be more careful.
Right.
And then, fuck. What did we learn? Get your shit done.
Yeah.
And like that, it's a progression. And, so now it's like, fuck. You're right. Yep. Just give me a second. Yep. And you go in the back, you run cold water on it, and you go back out.
After you put the tray down.
Yeah, exactly. But, when you're young, you don't even touch the cookies to put them in because you burn yourself. When you're a little older, you drop the cookies because you burn yourself. When you're an adult, you save the cookies, then because you burn yourself.
Exactly.
Like, it is it's a little building block there towards adulthood.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, we're like an hour in already.
But I think it was a good conversation.
Yeah. Well, I like it too.
Parenting advice from AON.
Yeah, if you've ever wondered why you shouldn't ever raise your kids like us, should we take a break?
Yeah,
we're so good about that. Cool, mm-hmm. Let's take a break. We'll be back in just a second.
If you guys like what you heard, come visit us on aonpodcast.com and leave a comment. Or you can send us an individual email at salsa, Matt, or Jenna@aonpodcast.com or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
And we're back. I'm still Matt.
I'm still Salsa.
I'm Jenna.
And based on Jenna's perkiness, I could use some coffee.
I, too, could use some coffee.
I had my coffee.
Clearly.
Thankfully, you have coffee in your bag.
I do, in fact, have a fresh pound of coffee in my bag, which I'm very excited about. Because we happen to know where to get the best coffee in the world.
Damn straight.
Which is?
Here in Minneapolis.
I'm trying to get you to say the name of the sponsor.
I don't.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
You almost said fearless, you piece
yes,
of shit.
Yes, I did. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, the Apropos of Nothing podcast is hosted by True Stone Coffee.
What?
Coffee that you should drink because you're a good person who deserves good coffee.
Drink good coffee, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, quite literally, I was like, hey, look at that pound of coffee sitting on the bar of the A1 Labs. Anybody need that coffee this week? You need that one?
Mm-hmm.
And Jenna's like, no, I'm good. I got some. And Salsa's like, no, we're pretty full up. That's actually what I was leaving on the bar. I'm like, I was going to steal it. But then you were like, no, you can just have it. I'm like, that's not how that works.
You're not allowed to take it with you,
Matt.
No
one gives this away.
You're not allowed to take it with you, Matt.
But yes, I had one of those moments of like, fuck yeah, it's my week to get the coffee. So
we only get one bag a week, so we've got to, you know, round robin this shit.
I know. I've learned to pace myself. But yes, True Stone Coffee are delightful supporters of both ourselves and other many fine young artists endeavoring to ply their wares around the Twin Cities area, which, while they may be a local company, is available to you wherever you might be. And so you can go to truestonecoffee.com.
Use the promo code is consumed.
Apropos.
Ooh, I like that. I like that.
Apropos.
I love.
Nope, I'm done.
No, you win.
No, you win.
No, by all means, it is apropos.
No, it is apropos.
Cool. I assumed we'd see you tap out real quick. Anyway, you can use the promo code
apropos.
Apropos.
And get yourself 10% off on your order. Get those delicious coffee beans shipped direct to your door. And don't forget, they also have cold press. So if you need a slightly more refreshing coffee version for a hotter day, they got you covered both that way, as well as your traditional hot coffee for the morning, whichever you might prefer based on climate, time of day, and locale. So once again, thanks True Stone for supporting us, and please, dear listener, support them by ordering some coffee from them. Use that promo code apropos, get yourself a discount, and truly understand just how delightful they might be. So,
and then buy a travel mug from Casimir.
Fuck yeah!
Last time I'm gonna bring up True Stone coffee in that Casimir mug.
What?
All right, as long as we're pimping things, I'm gonna try to pimp. Fast five. I'm going to do this off my phone, so I'm sorry if it's a little shitty. Because my computer is not too thrilled with me, which is making me go, cool, that's one more thing I got a budget for.
Mm-hmm. God damn it.
That's neat. I got money for that. I haven't done my taxes in 2 years, but I got money for this.
No, you don't.
So, question one. Oh, by the way, Fast Five works like this. Five questions, neither context nor clues will be given. You get an A or B choice, Coke or Pepsi type thing. And we make our choices, and then we find out later what the surrounding context might be. So, this one comes to us from our buddy Mud.
Mud.
From February of 2013. So,
we're getting there. We're in 2013.
We're catching up.
Now.
We're getting there. It's also an odd number, dear, so we're close. question one, Meet the Browns or Fast and the Furious?
Title of your last shit, Fast and the Furious.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
That's way good. I'm going Fast and the Furious then. That's awesome. No, I like Jenna's thing. That's a... Yeah. Oh, fuck
no,
yeah.
I take my time.
Oh, no.
I take my time on the toilet.
No, I'm kind of an in and out. And honestly, I have...
I had a lot of corn.
I have IBS issues, so no. Fast and Furious is just... Kind
no,
of
see, if I'm at work, which usually I'm at work, and then I'm...
Always better to poop at work because you're getting paid for
exactly,
it.
Exactly, and then take your time.
Mm-hmm.
And
if, that's fair.
And if I'm at home, I've got two little kids, so I'm going to take my time.
I've only got, like, if I'm lucky, I have 2 minutes between meetings, so it is Fast and Furious.
Oh, no, see, I revel in that shit.
Oh, yeah, one of them's
You revel in
jobs.
That shit. Yes, I do.
All right.
Question two. Snatch or Deep Impact?
Deep Impact.
It's a vagina thing.
I gotta think.
I gotta think.
I'm gonna say
Deep Impact.
Deep Impact?
Yeah.
Right?
I think.
I can't imagine this is a toilet. Deep Impact could be a toilet one, but Snatch.
Snatch seems weird.
It's this has to be vagina.
Vaginal.
I'm going to go Snatch.
No. What? I'm going Snatch.
Oh?
Yeah.
Clitoral over
right
penetration.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
and that's okay. Kind of where I was.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
And I mean, honestly, first one, then the other. Come on.
Like, well, of course.
But yeah.
But according to the law of Fast Five, you got to pick one of the other.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's at least start there and see where it goes.
Question three:
Give her a kiss, dear boy.
Question three:
God damn it.
How should train your dragon? Or holes.
This is masturbation. How to train your dragon.
I guess dragon.
I'm going to go holes.
Yeah.
Okay. Holes just seems like you just, it's wham, bam, thank you. Whereas how to train your dragon is like, you're going to learn something.
Or.
Yep.
Is it a hand job or do you use a, like a fleshlight or something? Which I don't, I guess at that point it has to be how do you train your dragon for me. I don't really use a fleshy. My dick is just too big for it.
I know. Guys. Yeah. They don't make them big enough.
Right.
I stand by my theory that like no male masturbation tool is worth the money because your hand is better.
Right. Like it's
like
a hard
I get why a woman buys
to.
A vibrator.
Oh yeah.
I do not.
Oh honey, I will tell you
I've gotten,
all of the many
I've gotten,
reasons.
Like random like pocket pussies. I've gotten a fleshlight. Like
yep.
I've tried a bunch of different
I've
things.
I've used them as well.
Yeah. To be like, all right, let's see if this is like a thing that's as good as they say. And it's like, nah. It's just like this is just nothing. Be like.
Returning to like, returning to a previous argument, getting a hand job also not as good.
Yeah.
Well, we don't need to return to that right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yet.
But I'm gonna say holes just because I have one.
Okay, fair. I'm fair, going with dragon.
Yeah. I'm gonna go dragon.
Also, right. I like dragons.
Also, dragon.
No, that's fair.
Question four: bend it like Beckham,
ooh.
Or the Shaggy Dog.
If
these are all innocent context, I'm gonna be so happy.
I know, right?
I don't.
Doggy style, or weird contort.
Or getting your dick broke?
No, not dick broke.
Not
weird
dick,
contortion,
like
Kama Sutra shit.
Like bent over a table?
Yeah.
Which is still kind. It's like a doggy variation, though. Like,
sure,
that's not...
no, I'm talking about like the weird, like where her leg is hooked over your shoulder. And like she's touching her toes with one hand.
I mean, there
and
certain
her
things like that I dig, but that's also a lot of work.
Yeah,
it is.
And also,
I will say,
like porn,
doggy is pretty much my favorite because as a woman, I can adjust where I'm at,
right.
And I can adjust
just with
the
tilt of the hips.
Angle.
Yeah,
yeah.
Also, most of the things that look interesting
look interesting,
but do not
but
feel amazing for either party because it's like this is. A position that is meant to look interesting to a outside party.
Right.
Whether it's a camera or an observer.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, but they like, oh, check it out. I've got, like a leg wrapped around my back of my head and there's a shower curtain and, you know, whatever. And it's like, both of us are just concentrating on not slipping out of each other.
Right.
To make sure that this doesn't break my dick or ram it up her butthole when she's not ready for it. Like, no one's having fun. All we're doing is concentrating on not falling.
And whereas, doggy or cowgirl,
pretty much just
you really
go.
Can't.
You
yeah.
Go. Yeah, there's a reason they're classic. So I'm gonna go. All right, I guess we're all saying Shaggy Dog.
I think we're all going Shaggy Dog.
I think Shaggy Dog.
Right, fair enough. Lastly,
I
want this to be like,
guys,
what's your favorite Disney movie?
Yeah.
Guys, you know it's us, so we're fucked.
Oh,
yeah. It's not gonna be good. And again, I've not looked ahead. I don't know, but I'm just sure we're fucked.
Yeah.
Lastly, Indiana Jones or Star Wars?
Oh,
and that's one I'd have trouble finding a sexual thing. Which I think we
are
might
really
be wrong
you would?
With all this.
Oh, we might be.
No time for love, Dr. Jones. So I gotta go Star Wars.
Like all of them are shitty except for this one, which is
Indiana Jones. Yeah, I can make this sexy.
Better...
No. I can make this about sex in no time. Indiana Jones, whips. Star Wars,
blaster,
fires, lasers.
Lasers.
Yellow laser beams.
No
okay, Indiana Jones. No time for love, Dr. Jones.
Oh.
So cock blocked.
Yeah.
Star Wars.
Incest. Oh, yeah.
Boner.
I'm just saying, I'm not saying that this is the context. I'm just saying it could very easily be made into it.
You guys, I'm having a problem right now. I can't remember the name of the actor.
Harrison Ford?
Thank you. I was like...
You dummy.
I had Herbert in my brain, and I'm like, wow. I know that is not right at that all, but at least it started with an A.
You'll be lucky if that's ever the correct answer to any question in your life.
No.
Honestly, in all seriousness, this came out before the Crystal Skull.
What?
This question.
Right.
Was before.
Yes, I believe so.
Okay, so this question was before Crystal Skull, and it was before Force Unleashed. Force Awakened.
Yes, so okay. After prequels.
Yep. So we're talking about Harrison Ford in two different trilogies only.
Right. No. Well, okay, yeah, he doesn't appear in the other ones, but Star Wars exactly. Is colored by...
Yes, but Harrison Ford's appearance
right.
In three movies...
Assuming Harrison Ford matters.
Assuming, but that's what this fucking is an assumption.
No, I'm just saying, but I'm also saying...
Assuming Harrison Ford as Han Solo before Force Awakens, or Indiana Jones, not including Crystal Skull.
Or it could be, which of these two franchises did George Lucas ruin worse?
It could be, but I'm going to say something blasphemous.
After
because
Crystal
I'm
Skull
going to say
Indiana
between
Jones.
Harrison Ford and Indiana Jones, Indiana Jones.
Which
you,
was the,
you mean,
is better.
You mean Han Solo versus...
Han Solo versus Indiana Jones. I'm going Indiana Jones.
Indy, absolutely.
Which one of them would I do? Indiana Jones.
No, I think Indy's the better character.
Oh, my God. He is the better
Han
character.
Han very one
better note. Developed. He's
but everybody
he's
freaks out about it. But,
because he's cool.
But Indiana Jones is a professor. He's got a doctorate.
Oh, my God.
He's
that is sexy.
Smart man.
Say it
smart.
Slower.
No. But, no, Indiana Jones is a much better character.
Oh, yeah.
Despite being a pulpy as fuck character, he's a better character, more rounded character, more interesting character. Han Solo is a badass because he's given very little to do.
Yeah.
If you had to spend a whole movie watching Han Solo, you'd go, when do you stop acting like a dick? Like, that is what Han Solo's character is.
But he's also
is.
The supporting character, whereas Indiana
exactly.
Jones
and that's the things, you can take that in small doses. Okay. Indiana Jones, as a lead character, actually has depth, and therefore is better. He can be a dick sometimes,
depth.
That's what I'm saying. So, we're all agreeing. What I'm saying is, like, that's the whole thing, because you're right, because people would be like... This is blasphemy. And I'm like,
so I'm going.
No,
I'm going Indiana Jones.
I'm
going
to go Indiana Jones.
Okay.
Yeah.
So before we get to the context, I do have to say this because we didn't actually get to what I did last week. I went to my wife's graduation.
Yay!
My wife has a master's degree in education. She's a massa now.
How is she that smart and still with you?
I don't know. I fucking don't know.
I don't get it.
But my wife, she had her master's degree graduation ceremony, and she got to walk with the master's degree hood, fancy
God.
Shit. Yeah. And
she had
to
wear the cloak of
whatever
degree.
It is, yeah.
Cloak of knowledge, yeah.
At the graduation.
Cloak of mastery.
Yeah.
Cloak of mastery.
Oh, yeah, she got to wear the cloak of mastery. At the graduation ceremony, the president of the college, who had, like, Jesus Christ, his robes and medal of, like, office and shit like that. He was, like...
Like a 50-pound garment?
This was, like, King Henry shit going on. He gets up there and he goes, ladies and gentlemen, we have a very special guest here today who is not in your program. And he's like, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the senior senator from Minnesota, Amy Klobuchar.
What?
And Amy Klobuchar came out and gave a fucking speech at her graduation.
That's cool.
I was like, what the fuck just happened?
I talked to a Senate subcommittee with her once.
Neat.
Yeah, she's cool.
And my wife, she had given me her phone before, and she was like, why did I give him my phone? I'm in the ninth row. This is a great picture. So, but anyway, I had to get that out there. Raiderly, congratulations so very, very much for getting your master's degree. You are... so much more awesome than me, and
true.
I'm really happy that you don't listen to this podcast,
because
then you would hear me saying that I don't deserve you whatsoever.
True.
So. Yeah. I actually tried to stop at the local wine shop to grab her a bottle to be like, hey, congratulations. I got there at 8:15. That shop closes at 8.
Some bullshit.
Fuck you.
I apologize for derailing the conversation, but yeah, I felt that. So,
long-time listeners and even relatively new listeners, she's on frequently enough that people should know that she is rad and deserves that their love and adoration. So yeah, good on her. That's fucking rad.
She's a smart one.
She's one of my favorites.
She's got like one more thing that she needs to like wrap up or something.
Yeah, she's got to do her capstone.
Oh.
That.
Yeah, she's got to finish her capstone. But her capstone is at this point literally just fleshing out.
It's like a week or two.
Exactly.
Right? Like, yeah.
Yeah, she'll have it done in no time flat.
Holy shit, I've watched your wife over the years, like, just stressing out about all of these classes and everything else, with the kids on top of it. It's like, holy shit.
No, she's been going to school while teaching school and having two little kids.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Fuck it. I'm out.
Yeah, she's got her shit on lock.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I was done at two kids. I'm like, nope, you had two. That's one too many, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, no, but her capstone is already like 2/3 written.
Yeah.
She just needs to flesh it out and give it a little bit more body, and it'll be done.
That's right.
Anyway.
Yay!
Back to the Fast Five.
Question one.
Yeah.
Meet the Browns or Fast and the Furious.
Come on.
Better code name for taking a poo!
Meet the Browns.
Better code name for doing it? Possibly it's Meet the Browns.
Better code name for taking poop. I'm going to say... I don't know.
If it's mine specific, it's probably Fast and Furious.
Me too.
But in general...
But Meet the Browns
Meet the Browns
funny.
Does
but it's not,
cover a
It's not how you take a poo. It is code. So you're going to say...
Yeah, exactly. That was my point. Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. You're going to say... Yeah, I'm just going to go meet the Browns.
Yeah, people know what you mean.
Yep.
Whereas you don't say, I'm going to go Fast and the Furious.
That's fine.
Yep.
I'm going to go walk the Green Mile is my favorite.
Yeah.
God. But, of course it's your favorite.
That's Snatch or Deep Impact? Better movie title that sounds like a porn title.
They both sound really good.
No, better porn title is going to be Deep Impact.
I think Deep Impact is a better porn title. Snatch is too on the nose.
Yes, well, Snatch. It's a snatch.
They would find
Deep Impact. Yeah.
That would be too mundane, I think, for a porn title. So I like Deep Impact better.
God, I'm 0-2 right now.
How to Train Your Dragon or Holes? Kids movie that has a better sounding porn title. Which is kind of where we went. We went masturbation.
Right. Yeah,
I'm still going How to Train Your Dragon. I feel like
Holes is just, more... I bet Holes exists.
Probably.
I bet.
So I think Holes is probably the right answer.
I don't really like...
Either one sounds great.
Dragon is any kind of... Like, Training Your Dragon isn't like a euphemism that I use.
No, but for dude bras, they're going to be like, yeah, it's my dragon. Yeah,
but like, how training your dragon?
Aren't going to talk about dragons.
That's also
true. Fantasy shit.
That's but true.
Training your dragon could be a submissive thing. Into BDSM.
Yeah, to me though, like how to train.
This is the problem though. I feel like you're reaching an awful lot to make that work.
I'd say. I feel like that's.
I mean, that's how I work.
Yeah. I still think that makes it the better title, though.
I don't know.
Because between the two of them, there's one of them that is too incredibly blatant, and the other one is not
at all.
But if I was going to buy one, it would be How to Train Your Dragon.
Better sounding is probably How to Train Your Dragon. More realistic is probably...
No. But what was the question? More realistic?
No, better sounding.
Nope, okay, exactly.
Sounding. So I think Dragon.
Holes has the same problem.
So begrudgingly, I'll say it's
Holes
Dragon.
Had the same problem that Snatch did.
It's better. Yeah.
I mean, I still have a hard time being like, I'm going to go into a porn star and rent How to Train Your Dragon. Like, that doesn't...
You don't rent movies in a porn store.
Not anymore.
No, but...
I mean,
like,
what year are you living in?
No, you could probably still rent 98. Videos.
My porn is on VHS. I don't know what you're talking about.
Is Sex World still open?
Huh?
I don't know.
I just realized, I don't know, is Sex World still open?
Oh, shit.
You'd think
we would have heard about it.
I think we would have.
Yes, because
Fancy
still,
Ray would have
because you're still going to need to get toys from somewhere.
Yeah.
I guess.
Even though you're downloading the movies,
people,
you still need the toys.
Well, I mean, internet.
But you could rent
but
vidges from
I thought you were going to say you could rent toys, and I was like, whoa, buddy.
Nobody is going to be doing
that. No.
Oh, there's like... Oh man, if there's ever a contest for most failed business model.
sex toy Goodwill.
Rentable sex toys.
No, sex toy Goodwill.
Be kind, rewind.
All right. Oh.
What's the next question?
Be kind. Bend It Like Beckham or The Shaggy Dog. Better sounding sex position. So we basically got there. Now, better sounding
is going to be, I think, Bend It Like Beckham.
Shaggy's a little troubling to me.
Yeah, that's like 80s porno bush going on there.
I was
going
to say 70s.
Yeah. 70s. And yet, but I would say that still if we're implying doggy, I'm more inclined to that than someone being like, all right, all I need you to do is strap one ankle into this swing, and now leap out the second story window, and when you come back in through the living room, you're going to be like, oh my God, my dick broke off. And I'm like, that's not fun.
Bend It Like Beckham sounds like a sex swing thing to me.
Bend It Like Beckham still
that
has
just sounds like a broke-ass dick.
It really does.
It really just sounds like you did reverse cowgirl too hard. He's like, rrr, rrr, and it goes, rrr, and you're
This, I'm not the only person that's accidentally done this to a guy, right?
No, that happens all the time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just like,
no, and that's where
things get a little happy.
Things
little
get heated, or someone gets a little bit too wet, and all of a sudden it's just like there's too much move. And like, that's, ladies, if you're ever on top and you know cowgirl versus cowgirl, whatever, and the guy is starting to like shift his hips up or down, what he's doing is making sure you don't slide off. Because if you slide off, you will break his goddamn dick.
What I was talking about was the actual like. I think breaking the dick, I think we're talking about the same thing, but where you like, kind of bend it in a funny way.
Yeah. So penile fracture. Yes.
Yeah. No, we're talking about the same thing.
Okay.
But if, as a dude,
I thought it had a different name, but
I think that's the name, but no, the idea is like, as a dude, you can like, we're starting to come down a weird angle here and things are getting weird. If I slide my hips down 2 inches, we're back to normal. Or if I slide up 2 inches, like, so it's like if the dude is shifting a little bit below you and kind of like holding your hips in place to keep you on spot.
Yeah, there was no shifting.
No, I'm just saying, not everybody will do that. But that is what is happening. So if that ever is happening, allow that to happen, because that's the prevention of either like a weird slip out, which could just be perfectly safe, but just your dick slips out and you had to restart.
Yeah.
Or it could be like, I think if you come down that hard again at this angle, my dick won't actually be in you, and you're just gonna go smush and bend it in half like a paperclip.
I feel like you're still the wrong thing is being bent in your viewpoint.
The dick?
Yeah, no, exactly. That shouldn't be bent. Correct. Whereas Bend It Like Beckham. Like in my head, I see having sex with a contortionist. Where you're fucking them in the vagina.
I was trying to do a public service announcement.
No. I'm saying you're fucking them, but they're bent over licking your balls at the same time. Like, that's what I'm picturing.
And that's all well and good, but that doesn't need a PSA.
No, I did.
No, this
that means a high five.
But this isn't a... Yes, it does. But the question was not which is the better PSA. The question is which is the better sounding sex position.
Yep, and the better sounding one is the one that I'm pretty sure I won't get my dick broke off from. So therefore,
where's your sense of adventure,
dude? Look,
it's true.
I am old, and I feel like I've sown many oats.
we had this conversation just a couple weeks ago.
I'm pretty sure I've done a lot of weird things. I don't need to do all the things. One of the things I don't need to do: break my dick.
I don't need to either.
I'm just saying this to me leads towards breaking your dick. So I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'll do something in a good position.
Matt,
I'm good with that.
I got it. I got it.
That doesn't sound very fearless, Matt.
Indiana Jones or Star Wars?
Yes.
Which movie inspired a better drink?
Oh.
Fortunately, we have the recipes because I was baffled by this.
Yeah,
what?
So, me as well.
Indiana Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Half shot. 1800 tequila, half shot whiskey, one shot champagne. Star Wars.
I mean, I need to try it now to be sure. But.
Of course.
1 ounce Southern Comfort peach liqueur.
Okay.
1 ounce amaretto.
Okay.
Almond liqueur. 1 ounce sweet and sour. 1 ounce Sprite.
Star Wars.
Neither of those sounds good.
No, but Star Wars.
I think that Star Wars...
One has tequila and champagne.
Right. I'm having a hard time with that.
I think if you dump champagne on top of tequila and whiskey, it doesn't matter. All you're tasting is either tequila or whiskey.
You're tasting tequila, because when you have tequila in a drink, all you taste is tequila.
Depending on the tequila. 1800 is decent.
Fair enough. But still, Star Wars. I feel like that one's a little bit
more... At the same time, though, peach cheeky? And almond and sweet and stuff, that sounds
not... No, it's not good. I'm not saying either one of these is good, but that one doesn't have tequila in it.
I'm pretty sure I had the Star Wars at a sorority party, and yeah. Like, it sounds
And the Indiana sorority. Jones in the bathroom which afterwards.
Which means it tastes like every other sorority drink I've ever had, which I guess is fine.
Like, I'm gonna go Indiana Jones on this just because it's less ingredients.
We have to find out now, though.
We will have to figure this out. I'm just saying that's
forward neither, that to me right now. I'm gonna buy those.
Neither of those sound good, but I'm betting I will like the Indiana Jones better because it will just be less bullshit. So
yeah,
boof. Anyway, so that's our Fast Five for this week. Yay, thanks, bud.
And that's our show for this week.
And that is our show for this week. So things we should plug coming up. Real quick, we will have Double Blind Improv happening this Thursday. Which, let's see, it's not midnight yet, which means it is May 11th at Honey. It's a week earlier than usual, so mark your calendars. Come in and see Double Blind. It's going to be a fantastic show, as always. Mm-hmm. It's short-form improv with six improvisers hosted by the incomparable... Eric Thompson. Mm-hmm.
They already know what Double Blind is because we've talked about it enough. So, but what they don't know is the day after that is the debut performance of Fearless Comedy Productions' newest production, original show, Anxiety the Musical.
Oh,
I know, shit. Right? Anxiety was written by our very own Becky Schmidt. It is a story about... having anxiety and how you navigate that in musical form.
Right.
Because why wouldn't you? And that is going to be at the Historic Mounds Theater.
We love those people.
I know, right? The debut performance is on Friday, and then it will be the following...
this Friday at 7:30.
Mm-hmm. All of the performances are at 7:30. Yep. This coming Friday, and then the following Thursday, Friday, and Saturday... And then there's a week off. And then June 2nd and 3rd.
And there's a week off because Memorial Day. Yeah. And we know you're not going to show up. Like, look, there's going to go to a
barbecue.
Yeah, exactly.
There's going to be all the barbecues that weekend. Or up north.
But there's a lot of really fucking cool people in that. And I am like, I want to see that.
Oh, my God. It's an astounding cast.
Is a topic that we could maybe all weigh in. Near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
And so when that was pitched as a thing months ago.
Yeah.
Of like, we should do a thing.
It feels like forever ago. Yeah.
It really feels like a long time ago. And it's like, what if we just did a whole musical about anxiety? And everybody's like, fuck yes, because we're all performers. And
right?
Yes and, but now what?
Right? Yeah. And I'm very, very delighted to see that is coming to fruition.
My God, yes.
Becky is the person at the idea and is the producer. And, to be selfish, I will specifically pimp our buddy Josh Knight, who is in that show. Our friend Scully, my co-host from Horse Show Hot Dog, who has a glorious singing voice and occasionally shows up at Fearless Lab or at Die Laughing to sing for us.
I've been working with the website, some of the promotional shots. And they just look...
Oh my God, they're real good.
They're really fucking good.
So good.
They're really, really good. It's like you got him, you've got Heather is stepping up and doing a role in this, our marketing.
Super proud of her. Holy shit.
Who's just like, you know what? Yeah, I like the idea of doing this. And we've got a bunch of people that I've not worked with.
Jason Krieger.
Oh my God, yeah. Jason's in this show. Oh,
Kruger?
Fuck.
Kruger. Okay.
Yep, Jason in this show. But like there's...
I like to think of him as the little brother of Freddy.
Right.
But there's,
I
worked with him at Mystery Lodge, and
God, super good.
Damn, is that guy funny? Really
he's talented. I've known him and worked with him for years, and he's just absolutely
from the
incredible.
Lyritics. He's amazing. Yeah. But no, we got a cast of eight, ten. I don't know what it is, but whatever it might be. Like, I think I know like three.
Yeah,
and I can't wait.
There's a bunch of names here that I didn't
the people I know I love, and then the people I don't know I can't wait.
Oh
to
my
see.
God, Tom. Tom S.
Oh yes,
Tom S. T. Yeah,
yeah, they are amazing.
Yeah,
they're just like I've seen them in like 18 million things, and they're just always outstanding. Like every time I've seen them.
Yep.
So.
Tom S. T. auditioned for my friend's show and was phenomenal.
Yes,
had a great audition. And I was like, oh fuck, it was very close. Yeah,
the person playing anxiety.
Yes,
like the embodiment of Boo. Mm-hmm. Just so creepy in some of the pictures.
So good.
Right?
I can't wait. God. I can't wait to see it.
Okay, so Thursday, Double Blind.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Friday, Anxiety the Musical.
Yep.
Saturday, Official Ostrich Committee at 4 p.m. at Phoenix Theater.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Because, yeah.
Is that the final?
Well, it's the final. Okay, so the teens actually have two forms that they're retiring.
Okay, that's
they're doing some new forms.
I saw the posters, like, what?
What? But, yeah. Okay. No, it is the last one that they have directly scheduled, and they are retiring Improviana Jones.
Gotcha.
Which is a fantastic form, but it can lean itself to some pretty weak villains, and they're like, we want our villains to be stronger. Fair so enough. They're retiring that, and World Problem Committee is also being retired after this, so... and that one's a fun form. It's a group that solves problems. So they'll get a problem from the audience that's like, tell us the problem that's really bugging you. And they'll be like, I'm out of toilet paper. And then they go to solve that problem, and in doing so, create bigger problems that they then have
of course
to try to solve.
Right.
It's
and
a fantastic
them.
Form. Yeah, they're retiring both of those. Oh. I also got to hear a sneak preview of what they're going to be starting up next month. And one of their forms sounds absolutely fantastic awesome. To me.
So look forward to that.
So yeah, but yeah, go see.
Was that a hot scoop? Hot scoops. That was a hot scoop. Yeah.
Like they
scoop.
Both sound great, but one of them just absolutely tickles me. And like, yeah. Like,
you'll have to find out which one.
Dun, so dun, dun. Yeah, this Saturday, 4 p.m. at the Phoenix Theater.
Nice.
I think there are tickets. I think it's like $5 to $10. I can't remember
Google it.
Exactly,
you can get it.
But. It is a really strong, solid improv performance.
Yeah.
So
cool.
It's some talented folk.
Yeah. Yeah, and you might actually get a little preview of one of the forms at the show that is unconfirmed. Because I have a teenager and she doesn't.
Hot rumored scoops.
Yeah, it is a rumor. You should come see that.
There you go.
On Saturday.
If I may steal a line from the new Idle Thumbs podcast, important if true.
that's not nice. The new Idle Thumbs podcast. I suppose it's the new Idle Thumbs network.
Yeah.
Is
there a new one?
Slightly less than 2 weeks away, but I should put it on your radar. On May 21st is Sketch Writing Workshop.
Oh, yes, yes.
Yes.
Fucking hilarious human being, Joe Bozic.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only $10?
Yes.
I think it's 10, yeah.
Yeah.
So if you want to learn how to write sketch from somebody who's a
fucking
titan
master.
In the industry
yeah.
for only $10,
right.
You should probably go to that workshop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll pimp this again next week, but yes, this mm-hmm. is one of those things that's sort of a
yep.
drop what you're doing because I'm about to ruin the crappiness that your sketches are yeah. used to.
Right.
Yeah, Joe.
That's from like noon to four, yeah. Sunday the 21st Sunday. At Lunds and Barley's.
Yes, mm-hmm. it's the kind of thing that there's an event for it on Facebook. Check it out.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you can take sketch classes from... Joe, and this is not a knock, but like they can cost like a couple $100.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. This is a huge
this is a fucking deal.
Opportunity if you are local to our Twin Cities to have a chance to work with someone and get some knowledge dropped on your brain. I will be there. Like, you know, like most of the people that I know that
I
work in any kind of comedy
fucking
are
livid that I will not
time.
Be there.
No, I know. Yeah. And that's.
I am also in that same area.
Yeah. Reality is reality, but in mm-hmm. people are really going out of their way to get there. And so get there.
Get the hence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'll be fucking fascinating.
Information for all of these, by the way, except for Ostrich Committee, because it's not Fearless, can be found at the Fearless Comedy website.
Right.
Yep. Ostrich Committee, if you hit up the Phoenix Theater website, I'm sure we'll have the dates
yeah,
and
Phoenix
ticket
has
link.
It. I think you can even buy the tickets online there.
Perfect.
Yep. And then two more things I wanted to mention. Mm-hmm. First of all, I have just a couple days ago been confirmed as the fight choreographer for... The Tragedy of Obi-Wan Kenobi. Right? So that'll be at the Fringe, which means I'm going to up my fight choreographer nerd cred. I can add lightsabers to my batliths and my everything else. I'm just choreographer for the nerds. But
and your batmorph.
So I will
get it bat left, bat north.
Oh my god, you're fired. You'll hear more about that in upcoming podcasts. The one thing that I needed to make sure to get out is a little PSA.
Oh.
You guys, this Sunday is Mother's Day.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is it?
It is.
Like this,
this coming Sunday.
I'll be doing improv.
Is Mother's Day. So, letting all of you know, because obviously these two didn't, if you still talk to your mother, you should probably, you know, say something.
Take her to the open improv workshop.
Yeah.
There you go.
Take her to a workshop.
Teach your mom improv.
Family bonding.
Let me teach your mom improv.
Anyway, and hey, if you happen to be a mother out there, have a great happy Mother's Day.
Yeah.
Have a fantastic Mother's Day. Because, you know.
I'm a fan of mothers in concept.
Yeah. I mean, not me, but.
No, that's why I said concept.
In concept, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just wanted to get that out there.
That's good. No, that's actually a great reminder because like, I do not remember this shit at all.
I also wanted to just hear you guys' reaction of, oh shit, is that this Sunday? And you deliver.
It doesn't mean I'm going to do anything.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
But it means I need to figure out something for my kids to do.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. You have to care.
Yeah, because Salsa's a good parent.
My kids will not be with me.
I can't
this
believe I just said that. Ew.
I know. Gross.
I
felt a little dirty about it.
Oh my god. You should have the kids bake or something.
We can make breakfast in bed.
Yeah.
And then I'll eat it.
That is selfish enough to qualify.
Yeah.
You've done it.
No.
Good job. All right.
Also, make sure to get her a bowling ball that says Salsa. Like, just, you know.
You know what? Fuck it. Guys, just start listening to Horseshoe Hot Dog instead. This podcast can eat a dick. All right. On that note, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good week. Take care of yourselves and each other. Be safe. All that good shit. Eat the fucking cake.
Peace.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
Levels. This is me talking into a microphone.
This is me talking into a different microphone.
I get a microphone, too.
No, you don't.
None for you.